All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third episode of the 1973 podcast. I'm your host, AC. I'm here with these two bananas once again. We're here to talk all things Gen X. And don't forget to like, support the channel so we can get this going. And I forgot to mention that last week, but let's have at it. Let's get right into it. Let's start talking some NHL trade deadline. And the big move, the Patrick Kane move, that first game with the Rangers, he was looking really out of place. There seemed to be like not too much chemistry with anybody on the team. I mean, that the excuse they gave was that they had no chance to practice the power play and nobody knew where anybody and I just called bullshit on that right off the hop. I mean, these guys are elite. Tarasenko, him. Panarin, that should be lights out right off the bat. If you don't know how to, if you don't know what you're doing out there, I mean, especially where these guys were top line power play guys right off the rip. I mean, don't make excuses for you know whatever trade you pulled off and it's not working right off the cuff. But Thomas, thoughts going forward with the trade deadline?
It just seemed like everybody with the Rangers on the ice with him, everybody was too polite. Everybody was making too many passes instead of the puck. I don't know if they didn't want to seem like a puck hog or what, but they just got to be more aggressive and shoot the puck.
Yeah. But Ed, have you watched any of the trade stuff since Friday?
No, I saw the Patrick Kane stuff. I thought it was a great move. I mean, who doesn't want to go play for Original Six? You know, you leave an Original Six, you know, and then you go play at MSG. I mean, obviously, it's not, you know, like it's not like playing up at the Montreal Forum or anything like that, you know.
Playing in Chicago with another Original Six team, but you know.
I mean, all I'm saying is just that. I mean, I didn't see him play or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, I think it's, you know, he's in a whole new team, a whole new role, kind of. But I definitely agree with you that, you know, I mean, these guys are elite power play. You know, I mean, they shouldn't be making too many passes, that type of thing. I mean, you don't forget how to play hockey on a plane ride.
not when you're making that kind of money.
I was just going to say, just for an old school reference, I mean, I haven't strapped on the blades and carried an axe in about, I don't know, 7 years or so. But I mean, the last time I played, it was kind of like, you know,
everything was in black and white last time you played.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah.
Mini one-on-one was still a thing on TV38 last time you played.
You know, I'm just going to – hey, well, you know, Fred, the Bruins will look a little snake bit here in the second period.
Yeah.
I mean, that's generation, if I remember correctly. A lot of people won't know what that one is for. We know.
That's why we got the podcast, because it's, you know, Gen X stuff. You didn't grow up on it. You don't know what the reference is, so –
I think we should use the old Channel 38 thing as our intro.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I just don't want to get any copyright infringements on this.
Oh, come on, man. You make all that big money up there. Come on, now.
I'm sitting on loads of money. That's why we're doing this, because I got all this time to burn.
Don't you like your cigars with $100 bills? Come on now.
Oh, yeah. I laid a lot of things on $100 bills. It's called anything hockey for the kids. I just piss money. Speaking of pissing money, good segue there, Red. We're gonna talk about a deal that Pastrnak signed. Tom, being a Bruins guy, you gotta be all over that. You gotta weigh in heavily with this one. We're going to an expert. We're going to the Bruins guy,
the big guy, Bruins honk.
The guy with the Bobby Orr jersey hanging in the back. You gotta represent.
Wear the Kim Thomas All-Star jersey, too.
I mean, Tommy, all you need is a megaphone with hearts all over it, brother.
I'm happy with the money, but the length of the contract, I don't like. I just think it's stupid for anyone. I don't agree with any of the length of anyone in the league getting that much money. That many years. It's just ridiculous.
So it seems like the culture of the way they do these contracts now is they load them up. And by the time they're still paying these guys big money at the back end, they're already not worth the money. And that's why mm-hmm. they try to move contracts at the end, like the Shea Weber thing that he's on Phoenix. Like I saw a video of Phoenix's greatest starting five, and not one of the guys played a minute in Phoenix. From Datsyuk to Shea Weber, all these, they're just salary dumps. And it just blows my mind how those contracts are for so long. And yeah, okay, you got the peak years, you got the 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. But then on the back end of it, you got the years where they're already making so much money and you can't move anybody or get anybody new because the contract is so heavy that you're almost handcuffed. And it seems like it happens to almost every team nowadays in the league. But
in every sport now too. You look at football, you look at baseball. I mean, all these contracts are ridiculous when you think about it. I mean, what is it? Tommy, New York Mets are still paying Bobby
Bonilla. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's from – he hasn't like, stepped on a baseball diamond in, what, 20 years?
Yeah, pretty close.
Wasn't it something ridiculous at the time, like a 30-year deal?
I think it was like 18, I believe.
Wow. It's just – I don't know where they come from with this stuff. It seems to be the way that they do it now. But, thoughts long-term on the structure of that? Like, well, what's your take on it, Ed? Like, what if you were GM, and would you ever do something like that?
I don't think I would. I mean, I think that it just hampers you, your future. Now, I mean, like, just to use it as a an example of, like, Colorado or Tampa Bay, they probably are going to be two of the teams that, make a strong run back to the Cup this year. If you're making a Cup run and you need that one player or that those two players, all right, let's do a deal, and maybe we'll hamstring us a couple years down the line. But for myself, honestly, I'd have a hard time paying somebody that type of big money. I mean, I think that any business, if you want to go corporate business and that type of thing, everybody has a budget, and I feel like that, the salary cap is really kind of like a fake budget. And I think, down the line, these contracts, how are they going to pay for these contracts down the line? Not in the next 5-10 years, but okay, when these amounts, when you look at Russell Wilson, just to switch sports, but still a gigantic contract for 230 something million. How are they going to pay for that? And so when you flip it back to hockey, I mean, hockey doesn't have the TV revenue like what NFL does. They don't have the revenue like Major League Baseball has. I mean, it's, unfortunately, I mean, I still feel like it's one of the best sports ever. I mean, but it doesn't have that cachet of money like the NFL does. Thomas?
Yeah, I totally agree. And they're not getting any help from ESPN. ESPN's coverage, I think, is terrible.
You saw that clip I sent you guys this week about
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the Stephen A. Smith, yeah.
Oh, that's so bad. So bad. It'd be like any product that your company is in business with where you totally foo-foo it whatsoever. You own that. You spent big money to get them away from NBC, and they do nothing to promote it. It's terrible. I mean, we could go into the whole ethics of how it was presented and the whole thing, but that's not the point. It's just the point being is, why is hockey always the sport that gets no respect? And it's got everything. Whatever, I don't care what excuse you have about hockey. I can't follow the puck. You know all the cliches. Can't do this. Can't follow the puck. Oh, it's not an inner city sport or whatever. Let's pause right there. Just came out today that the NHL wants to add two more expansion teams. Atlanta again for the third time. In Houston. I got to get your take on that. I have to get your take. We just talked, I think it was the first episode, we talked about that whole, you know, where teams should go and the culture of it. So weigh in, Ed. Let it rip.
Why are you trying to do something that doesn't work? I mean, this isn't running. We're not running a football play here where, okay, hey, we're gonna run an ISO here, and we only got about 2-3 yards on the first carry, and then we did it again, and we get the same thing. Oh well, you know, we're gonna break it here. Come on, man.
Is the reason
the same market?
The only reason why I can see them even entertaining Atlanta again is that's where the TBS studios are. That's the only reason. But when they had the Flames the first time, TBS was on the up. One time did they ever get involved with the Flames and, you know, off to Calgary and, you know, the rest is history of Thrashers. Sure. But if that's the reason, you cannot tell me that there is not a market somewhere that's never had a chance at a franchise that wouldn't do better than an area that's had two NHL teams already. I got no words for it. I mean, yeah. Tom, what do you got?
That's somebody's ego getting in the way and saying, we can make this work. I know I can make this. And Atlanta's going to fail. It might not be in a year or two, but it's going to be 3-4 years down the road. They're going to end up failing. And, I mean, you've got teams with fan bases like Quebec, Hartford. I mean, those teams, they're just dying to have a chance. And I don't know if somebody owed somebody a favor, Bettman or whoever it is just – I don't know. They're just stubborn, and it's their ego. They don't want to admit that they were wrong the first time with Atlanta. And to me, Texas already has one team. You don't need – give somebody else a chance that hasn't had a chance before you add another team to a state that's already has a team.
I always thought that the good rule of thumb would be throw an AHL franchise somewhere, see how the market does, and then go from there. See if it's valuable enough. Mm-hmm. Of a draw that you could get an NHL style, you know, franchise there. The city that I always thought would do well in the U.S. with that, because where it's located in Minnesota, is Wisconsin, maybe Milwaukee. Yeah. You know, it's Wisconsin Badgers, big hockey school. Mm-hmm. There's got to be some likability up there for an NHL team. You never know. They've had those Milwaukee Admirals for a while now. I don't know the start date, but they've been around for a while. I think they were in that old, what league was that the Detroit Vipers were in with Radek Blanc. I'm trying to think of
International Hockey League.
Yeah, the old IHL. That's where they came from, and they're still around. So they got to be doing something right. Remember the Utah Grizzlies? Remember all those teams?
Yeah,
Roadrunners. There's got to be other teams.
I just think part of it too is that, you know, from a media standpoint, Atlanta is a huge media market, and I think that that's what they think. But the thing is like when you go to these other markets, you know, like that's not a traditional hockey market. Well, how do you build the fan base? Well, you got to get people involved, and I think it kind of goes back to like what you were saying. Like you could do some, you know, offsite hockey games there to see what the draw is. What's the excitement? You know, I mean, because like down here when the Mississippi Seawolves, they brought in three, they did three games last year. And the first game they sold out probably about 70% of the building. Second game they sold out about 85%. And then the third game they sold the whole building out. I mean, you know, I mean, you're talking about, you know, like Gulf Coast Hockey League, you know, pretty much, you know, it's a step below what American Hockey League is. It's good hockey, you know? So, I mean, I think it's just a, it's a, I think this circles back to what Tom said. It's an ego thing because it's a media market thing, because Atlanta is a big media market and it's about money, you know?
Always about money. Always.
But the thing is, but if you don't put any fans in this, if you don't put any assets in the seats, how do you make money?
Yeah.
You know, you can't charge $15 for a beer when there's nobody in the seat, you know?
Yeah. Just like, I was talking to somebody that lived near Raleigh with where the Carolina Hurricanes play. And the ruse that they have is it's so close to the campus of the college that the day of the game, they take all the tickets that are unsold. And if the kids line up 2 hours before the game, they can get tickets for $5 to fill the stadium. So what kind of, yeah, it looks full. Maybe it's rowdy, which is cool. I mean, that's a good atmosphere to be in.
Yeah.
But are you really in a hockey market and you won a Stanley Cup there? Atlanta never won anything, so at least there's no history like that there. But what are you trying to accomplish? Even though Dallas has been competitive, they've only won that one Stanley Cup. Say what you want about Buffalo. They always talk about, you know, their team's not being that great. But they've been in the league since 1970. They've had Hall of Fame players there. It, you know, you can't compare apples to oranges.
Buffalo's so close to the Canadian border. They draw the Canadian fans too.
Right, right. It's true. It's true. Just the thoughts on expansion and where they could put it. I mean, it's the possibility.
Quebec.
Yeah, as always. Quebec. Yeah. Yeah.
Bring it back.
That'd be my first choice before Atlanta. I mean, we were only talking about this 2 weeks ago, and it's like, I can't believe that's actually a thing. I cannot believe that's actually a thing.
Quebec Nordiques again. That's what they need to do. You know, bring it back.
Talking about going into the playoffs, if an East team, Eastern Conference team, does not win the Stanley Cup this year,
They're loaded.
I'll be shocked. Absolutely
loaded this year. It is going to be so tough. I mean, as good of a season as the Bruins are having, they may lose the first round. Right now, I think they play the Islanders, I think. And it's going to be some of these matchups are going to be, I can't wait.
It's definitely one of the more intriguing years to watch, just with all the movement that happened. Like, is some team going to, you know, bring in somebody that ruins the chemistry they had going in? Is somebody going to be, you know, more of a contender because they brought in somebody that you didn't think was going to be a key aspect of it? You know, is Tampa still going to be Tampa? Are they still, you know, the team to beat in the East?
Yeah. What do you think of John Cooper the other day benching the top line there, Kucherov, Braden Point, and Stamkos, benched him for the whole third period?
I love it.
Yeah, there you go. Complacency sometimes is not good with, you know, sometimes you got to rattle cages, you know, kick somebody in the ass, get them going. Who knows? I mean, maybe they expect to play and they were chirping, you know, and when that happens, what if somebody's outworking you? You're talking at a pro level going into the playoffs. Maybe they need a spark. Who knows?
I like it. It shows those younger players that if he's going to do it to the big stars, that, I mean, it keeps everybody in check. I really thought it was a good move.
That's a Tortorella move right there.
Yeah.
I think what he said after the game was really good. Like he said, that's not what we're about. I'm paraphrasing here, of course. I mean, he's like, that's not what we're about here. We're about here. We put in work here. And that we weren't working. So how do you send a message? That goes back to you, Andy. How do you send a message? You rattle somebody's cage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right in the mind, you know?
You call Dickie Dunn, you put false stories in the paper. make them think that they're moving to Florida when they're in Florida. That's really right. Screw with them.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Dickie Dunn, I mean, he tells the truth, you know?
Yeah. The
spirit of the thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So going into the playoffs, who's your pick in the East, Tom?
I'm a homer. I think it's going to be Boston, Carolina in the, and I think Carolina has a good shot of beating the Bees. But I don't think Toronto, I don't like their goaltending. And then Ryan Riley got hurt, broke his a couple fingers, I think.
Right,
He may be out for the playoffs. I mean, up until the playoffs. So,
Ed, pick in the East. Who's your pick in the East? Tampa?
Yep.
I'm going Carolina. I remember just having this funny feeling that they were going to do something this year. And, you know, here I am bad-mouthing them about, letting the college students
$5 seats
and, dollar dog night or whatever the hell they're doing over there. But I got a feeling that they're just this could be the year that they surprise a lot of people. And if they do win the whole thing, they deserve it, because that's a tough area to come out of. But in the West, who knows? Wide open. I mean, could be Dallas. I don't know. I mean,
is Landeskog going to be back?
I haven't heard anything at all. The way the injuries are now, where it's upper body, lower body, you never know. And going back to another pet peeve of mine, how bad the media coverage is for the NHL. It's terrible. Yes. It's terrible. If you might get a cookie in a local market, somebody says something that they saw somebody working out or skating again or something, but it's awful. From doing fantasy how hard it is to keep track of what's going on.
Yeah.
You'll have guys in your lineup that you had on the IR and you had no idea they were going to play that night. It's crazy. The coverage is awful. Ed, what do you got? Speaking of awful hockey coverage, you're in no man's land down there for hockey news.
I am. It's a little tough to come by down here.
Yeah, I think the closest ice rink to you is on an oil rig in the Gulf.
Well, yeah. No, actually, it's closest rink is 5 minutes away.
Oh, but, wow.
Yeah, there's only like a small group of people that play, and I haven't explored those options.
Do what you used to do? Do you just go in the locker room and hang around just to see what's going on?
I don't even know how to answer that.
You were the guy that I had to explain to one time that.
Oh, shut up, dude. Stop that.
Questions, comments, Ed?
Go eat a bag of Richards, man.
So speaking of Heat, we were talking about the MJF fallout from the AEW pay-per-view last night. Was pretty epic if you're into good Heat from old school heel, where he during the match grabbed the drink from the lady in the crowd and threw it at the kid. And I guess it was, it wasn't planned. And, I like that kind of stuff. And it actually brings back a little old school flavor. And thoughts on some old school Heat from you two guys?
Ed, go ahead.
I love it. I mean, like, I remember the Attitude Era, or back to NWO era back in the day. That was some fun stuff, man. The promos that those guys cut. And I mean, most of those guys were living the gimmick, and it was just like, you look back and you see like those promos that, man, like Dusty cut, Road Warriors, Ric Flair, the Horseman, you go back to like some of the stuff that The Rock did, you go back to like what D-Generation X used to do, man, that was some just classic stuff, man. And they were good, And so to see like some of these, like a new guy like MJF, man, he's awesome. Especially like that 10-minute thing that he did on the mic probably about, 4 or 5 months ago, and he just went off. Man, that was awesome. Like, it was probably one of the best promos that I've seen probably in this century. That's saying a lot.
What I like about him, not to cut off Tom's response to that is, during the media scrum last night, he said what I like from a world champion. Well, you know, you got to pay to see him. You're not going to get him wrestling on TV for
every
free.
Week, yeah.
And I think that the allure of you had to pay to see a title match that was important on TV, that works for him. And with the heat, would not it just adds to the allure of, you know, he's not like a Ric Flair type heel, but he's more like a Tully Blanchard style heel. It's that punch in the face, the guy that was the high school jock, he's better than you and he knows it. That's his tagline. So you live in the gimmick. And when you see if you go on YouTube and you see some of the meet and greets he's done, I mean, there was a kid in a wheelchair and he tore the kid up in the wheelchair. I mean, he cut a promo on the kid in the wheelchair. Honest to God, go on YouTube and put it in. And he does not give a shit. And if you're going to go that route in a felony baloney style of trampoline cowboys that are out there with 7,000 high spots, I mean, it's refreshing to see.
Yeah. I just hope it is. I think it is legit, but I hope it is, because if it's not, I think Tony Khan, they have a tendency to overdo things where, like, the thing with everybody bleeds now on that show. It's just, that kind of takes away the effect of having somebody really having a match like the Texas Death Match last night. I mean, but you have girls bleeding now. I mean, it seems like it's like used to always be a rare thing. They bring it out for something special, and now it's, you see it on TV every week. I
think that the blood should be strictly maybe pay-per-view or a major angle. It shouldn't be just, because you get desensitized to it, and that's the thing. A cage match isn't a cage match if you see it every week. Yeah, you know, and it should always be a blow off. It should be to end the feud.
That's like all the high spots. Sorry about that. High spots. Like, ever since Mick Foley flew off the cage, people have desensitized, and you see people doing all kinds of crazy stuff all the week. I mean, I don't want to say people don't care, but they just, it's something they've seen, and they've seen all the time now. So it's just, I just think you have to bring it out in spots. You got to pick your spots with these things and make it mean something.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I agree.
On that note, I was having a conversation with a buddy of ours that we all know and still trying to get him on the podcast.
Is this call sign Vincent Barbarino?
He could be.
Is he holding out for money?
Chachi Arcola. I told him, and I'm going to tell you guys, and it's going to be on this podcast, somebody is going to get paralyzed on AEW TV, and it's going to be on live TV. It's either going to be on a weekly show or a pay-per-view, because they've come this close so many times.
Yeah.
These major injuries that never happen.
Right.
And they just skate by, and I'm telling you, it's going to happen, and it's going to be a train wreck when it happens. And then try to get sponsors after that happens on live TV. All these sponsors that you have, because it's not the blood. It's these high spots that these untrained guys, you're not talking about guys that have been doing it for years. You're talking about green guys that haven't had a lot of matches, that only wrestle once a week. Somebody's going to get hurt. And remember, I said it, because it's going to happen.
That's
going on record to say it's going to happen.
That's like WWE got lucky with Big E. They're lucky his neck is built like a tree trunk, because he should have broken his, I mean, he did break a couple of his vertebrae, but he's lucky he's not paralyzed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look what happened at Draws.
Yep. That's my point right there. And that happened at a house show. It wasn't even during a live TV. So mark my words, the way that they pushed the envelope, not with the verbal, not with the blood. It's the spot.
Was it a WrestleMania that Stone Cold and Owen Hart fought, and Owen Hart gave him the tombstone?
And he gave it to him wrong, because he sat out like it was a pile driver.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was a WrestleMania. I think it was a SummerSlam. It was the IC title match.
Yeah.
But that's that's minuscule compared to seeing something that's going
to
happen.
Well, I mean, look what happened. I mean, look what happened to Owen Hart.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I mean, it's look, I mean, these guys are incredible athletes. They're doing stuff like, I mean, what's his face? The dude that's 160 pounds that flies around the ring like a, you know, skateboard dude from.
Oh, Darby Allin.
Yeah, Darby Allin. That, I mean, that dude's going to die.
Yeah. Those guys are going to have a hard time getting past 40. Those guys with their body, the way it is.
You know,
but let me pause you there. We got about 5 minutes left. Then we want to try a new segment to the show. We're going to do record pick of the week. And Tom's going to tell you about his pick of the week with album.
Well, this week I'm going with Metallica, Ride the Lightning from 1984.
Good one.
Good tune. Gets the juices flowing. Gets back before Metallica kind of started
commercial.
Yes.
Yeah. Good tunes on that. Fade to Black, For Whom the Bell Tolls, Trapped Under Ice.
Yep. My go-to on that one is Creeping Death.
Oh, yeah. That's probably my favorite one on the album. Definitely my favorite.
Yeah.
So we're going to probably wrap this up for this week. We're going to tell you to like, subscribe, and thanks for all the support for the people that I know watch it, the nosy people. They want to be nosy, see what these guys are talking about.
They're all my fans.
They're trolling. You know, they like to troll. They'll say, we don't watch that stuff.
Don't forget Brock Street Brewery, man.
Oh, yeah. Buddy Scott at Brock Street Brewery. We're waiting for a sponsorship. Scott, send us some stuff. We could use Ed could use a good setup over there. Yeah, maybe some swag you can wear. Maybe throw a black light on him or something to illuminate that room. Looks like you're doing it from a closet apartment. But
pretty much. High society down here, baby.
Yeah. So in closing, you guys got anything, or are we going to wrap it up? Or
yeah,
I think we'll wrap it up.
Tampa, Colorado, Stanley Cup.
Oh, Tampa, Colorado, Ed with the call. All right, I'm going, let's see, Carolina and
Flyers. Yeah. Oh, that's right. They're not very good this year.
This is true. Take your shots now because they're rebuilding.
Give them 6-7 years. They're going to be up there.
Yeah. I can't wait. Hopefully we'll still be doing this then. So, Tom.
Hey, one last thing before I interrupt, Tom. We need to get Tom a megaphone that has Boston Bruins on it, okay? We need to put that in the budget, by the way.
We'll work on that. We're working on it.
I'm getting the big chain that's got the Bruins emblem that they all sell now.
Yep. Yeah, just hit it. Anything to get ratings. We're here for ratings. Then we'll work on the swag later on. But anything to get it going. So for the three of us, we'd like to say thanks, and we'll see you for episode 4 next week.
See you next week.
Hey, later.